CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. Former President Trump blasting a decision in Maine to remove his name from the 2024 presidential ballot, citing the 14th Amendment and Trump's role in the January 6th insurrection.
The Maine Secretary of State said she believed the record established that the former president engaged in insurrection after previously swearing an oath to defend the Constitution, and so therefore she ruled Trump's application to the primary ballot was ineligible.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Multiple other states have similar legal challenges. Busy day at the nation's airports. 2.6 million people expected to go through TSA checkpoints today alone, complicated in part by a massive West Coast storm. 30-foot waves hitting California shoreline, including a rogue wave in Ventura County that sent 8 people to the hospital. Good news to bring in the new year. Nearly 10 million workers are getting a boost in their paychecks. Multiple states raising minimum wages. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is rejecting a complaint to keep Donald Trump's name off next year's presidential ballots in Wisconsin. Minocqua activist Kirk Bangstad filed the complaint yesterday. The recusal is a matter of commission policy. Bangstad now says he'll file a lawsuit to keep Trump's name off Wisconsin ballots. High rates of flu, RSV, and COVID-19 persist in Wisconsin. State epidemiologist Dr. Tom Hout says he doesn't expect any letup until sometime next month.
We're really optimistic and hopeful that we will see peak activity in January along with the other viruses, and we will start seeing a decline shortly after that.
2 children under the age of 5 died from RSV in Wisconsin last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Pine County Sheriff's Office is searching for a driver who reportedly almost hit 2 children as they got off a school bus. A video of the incident was released to the public in the hopes that residents can help law enforcement authorities identify the driver of the pickup truck. The video shows the school bus stopped with its stop sign displayed as the kids got off the bus, and the pickup truck driver appears to ignore the stop sign and continue driving past the bus. The vehicle is a red 1994 Ford Ranger with Minnesota plates of 116 KPL. Employment data in Wisconsin is looking good heading into 2024. According to the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, coming into December, the state had an unemployment rate of 3.3%, well lower than the national average of 3.7%. Data is still being collected for December, but in November, Wisconsin had over 3 million people working and 1,700 employees were added to the workforce. The biggest concern for the state's workforce heading into 2024 is a lack of people to fill open jobs. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Packers head to Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the border battle. The Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football, New Year's Eve, inside the big glass box with huge speakers. In downtown Minneapolis, known as U.S. Bank Stadium, both teams at 7-8, still alive for a playoff spot. Matt LaFleur.
I think this is one of the best venues to go play a football game in. Their fans are very supportive of the home team, and they do a great job of making it chaotic for the opposing team, especially for opposing offenses.
College football, the Badgers are in Tampa getting ready for Monday's ReliaQuest Bowl. Kickoff 11 a.m. on New Year's Day. Luke Fickell says to beat number 13th ranked LSU, he's counting on Wisconsin's offensive line.
You know, I really like where we are with those 5 guys, the Jack Nelsons and Riley Malmans and Joe Hubers. It's played a lot of football. In particular, those guys have got to be tough, nasty dudes.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A bright and beautiful day today with partly sunny skies and mild temperatures as highs climb to flirting with the 40s. Tomorrow we'll see some sun to start, but clouds quickly rolling in as chances of snow start to move in after noon. Currently, it's 28.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. Oh, it's going nowhere.
Filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So very happy to have you join us. Greg Bach is with me in studio live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Calvin's on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. As he has every Friday for the last few months joined us in order to fix your life. Dr. Michael McCutcheon is our guest. So happy to have you along, Dr. Mike. He is a wonderful human being. He's also our resident life relationship career coach who draws on his training in counseling psychology to help us improve our relationships, set and achieve our goals, and generally fix our lives. You can find him at thedrmichael.com. Good morning, Dr. Mike. Happy New Year. How are you?
Good morning. Happy New Year. Good to see you. I missed you last week before Christmas. How was your Christmas?
It was great. It was very, very nice. Yeah.
Busy, but good.
What about New Year's plans? Do you and your husband have New Year's plans?
New Year's, we don't have much. What are we going to do? New Year's Eve, not going to do anything. I think New Year's Day, we're going to go see some friends for kind of an early dinner, hang out with their kids, watch some New Year's bowl games. Texas and Washington is going to be a good one. I'm from Ohio, so I'm rooting against Michigan as much as I'm rooting for Alabama. Michigan. I know I should be rooting for the Big Ten, but I just can't bring myself to do it.
We all have flaws. Dr.
Don't worry.
Mike. We all have flaws.
Before you know it, all the teams will be in the Big Ten. It'll be the Big 500.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, they're all if you and your husband need something to listen to, because, of course, I know, Dr. Mike, you have the Civic Media app. You can listen to a countdown show you can dance to this New Year's Eve. Civic Media's own Lou Ragani is hosting New Year's Eve countdown on Sunday night from 7 to midnight across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app. And, Greg, you've worked with Lou, and he has a really, really extensive music collection.
Oh, my good gravy, yes. That man can pull from decades upon decades upon decades and give you very deep information about those songs. Yeah, he's a good guy. I like Lou a lot. Loves a buffet. Loves to hang out with him at a buffet.
Well, if you're going to be home on New Year's Eve, and I know my husband and I are, so
lucky.
Check it out. And again, that's from 7 to midnight on New Year's Eve. All right, let's get around to fixing someone's life, Dr. Michael McCutcheon. Here is today's vignette.
Ooh.
Hey, Dr. Mike, I have a New Year's question for you. I am turning 35 this year. I feel like the years are going by faster and life is passing me by. I want to finally get physically fit, have a meaningful relationship, have a family and a nice home life of my own. I just haven't made it happen yet. That said, I feel cheesy and cliche about making New Year's resolutions. Isn't it true that everybody makes these, but no one actually sticks to them? So if I really want to make big life changes, what is the best way to go about it? I would appreciate any advice for making a plan and then actually sticking to it. we all face this, right? This is, yes, I'm going to lose 35 pounds next year. And by the 4 days later, it's like, where's the cheesecake? I need
the cheesecake to motivate me to lose the weight. That's how it works.
That's right. That's actually a really good plan, though, Greg. That's true. That's something I would recommend, is rewards along the way, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean,
it can't be all deprivation all the time. You'll go crazy.
No, especially in a weight loss journey, I find that you set a goal, set your small goals. If you want to lose 50 pounds, do it healthy, do it right. But, you know, all right, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. At that 10 pounds, make yourself a goal, whether it's to buy yourself something, whether it's to have a good meal, but make those goals achievable, attainable, and healthy, because so many people lose weight nowadays in such an unhealthy fashion.
Look at how much he's learned from you, Dr. Mike.
What am I doing here?
Folks, if I told you how much weight I've gained and lost in my life, you'd be like, you deserve your own podcast.
Counseling with Greg Bach.
Yeah.
No.
Greg, I got a question. You know, I should have brought my own questions for you. It's great. How should I do my hair, Greg? No, I honestly, Greg, you're so right. You know, I did a lot of work during my training, and then my postdoc year was actually in eating disorders and body concerns. But one thing we learned is there should be, quote unquote, no off limits foods, right? So people will say, 2024, no carbs. Ha ha ha. Point, that's going to last until January 4th.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Or that, you know, I'm not going to have any desserts, right? I'm not going to have any French fries. It's like
no processed sugar.
Right. Right. You got to live your life. Mm-hmm. Right. So this person's starting with wanting to get fit. Great. You know, get fit, but, you know, whatever you want to call it, the 80-20 rule, the 70-30 rule, you know, live your life, you know, have 80% of the time, do the things that are going to make you proud of the way that you're living, right? You know, set your alarm clock and get up when you're supposed to. And, you know, if you want to work out in the morning, work out in the morning. And then, you know, if you want to be eating well, eat well, you know, meal plan, do all those things you're supposed to do. And when your friend's having a birthday, have a damn piece of birthday cake, will you? You know, that's not going to ruin everything.
You heard that, folks, really won't. A doctor told us to eat cake.
Yeah, that's right. Eat the cake. And also, you know, when you're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to be doing, do those things.
Yeah.
Right. I will say to the original question, you know, should we or should we not be doing quote unquote New Year's resolutions? You know, who am I to tell you what you should be doing? But I will say, I think it's a great idea at different points in our lives or different points throughout the year to have an excuse to just take inventory, right? You know, we do these things like quote unquote spring cleaning. I think we should be looking in our closets, right? And, you know, in our laundry rooms and under the rug to see and behind the couch to see what, you know, what's there. Do I still, you know, need this jacket? Would I purchase this shirt again today if I had to, right? And to go there and take inventory, and with the deeper things as well, right? How do I like the way that I'm taking care of my body and my mind? You know, I think that's a really important question, because we go through lives with this body and this mind, and it's your instrument, right? It's the way you interact with your family. It's the way you interact with your friends and neighbors and at work, right? So you want to make sure that you're taking really good care of it. So why not use, you know, we're talking on Friday, December 29th. Why not use this year as a marker to say, hey, do I like the way that I'm living? Mm-hmm. You know, and this person's saying, I feel like the years are passing me by. Okay, well, snap out of it, bud.
And you get engaged.
Engage in yourself.
That's right. Yeah.
We're all
have some other things in life. So wake up and start living the way that you want to.
But as we've talked before, Dr. Michael McCutcheon is our guest. He is a life coach. You can find him at thedrmichael.com if you ever want to get in touch with Dr. Mike. Again, it's about being realistic. It's about and then not beating yourself up, which I think happens a lot.
Correct.
Because you fail.
Correct.
And I'm assuming that's why there shouldn't be nothing should be completely forbidden. I'm never going to eat cherry cheesecake ever again. And then all you do is think about cherry cheesecake and how you will never have any ever again.
I just had some.
So you have to allow yourself those things and then forgive yourself for a little slip and then go on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, look, setting a plan, let it be both reasonable and attainable, yet a little challenging, right? It should get you out of your comfort zone a little bit, and yet it should also be reasonable. If you can have somebody else involved in it, maybe they have a similar plan, or at least they can know what it is, right? If it's to go to the gym, if you want to go a few days a week, maybe they'll meet you there. Or maybe even if they don't have to be even in the same city, but they want to go and you all can check in together via text or FaceTime or whatever it is to make sure that you're both going, right? Get somebody else. You get some skin in the game, have them get some skin in the game too. To Greg's point, right? If you want to lose, 35 pounds every 5 or 7 or 10, give yourself something that actually matters to you. That actually matters, right? I think that's the important thing. You know, if it's cheesecake, great. If it's a new purse, fine. If it's something you actually are looking forward to, tie important rewards all the way along to get you going there. And the other thing that I'll say here too is why, right? It's important to think about why you're doing these things. Mm-hmm. Why is it important that you get fit? What does that matter to you? Why is it important that you find love this year and all those sorts of things? And I think that's the key to all of this. So, I'm old school. I've got pen right here. I get some pen and paper out. It slows the brain down. You can only write so fast. You can type very, very fast, and our thumbs are getting better at moving very fast. Write some things down as to what it is you want and why it's actually important to you, and then have that out there in front of you all year here and keep adding to it. Because if we tie the why to these goals, right, and we tie some rewards to these goals all along the way, like our guru Greg just taught us, we tie some things to it, these things are actually sort of attainable, and having a quote-unquote New Year's resolution is not cheesy nor cliche.
And I think you make such a good point as far as, again, reward, having the rewards along the way, having reasonable expectations, and why this is good. Writing it down is an entirely different process than typing something, Dr. Mike. There is a connection between our brain and our hand that is a much different thing than typing. And when I have to really get something off my chest, I handwrite it, because it's just a better cleanse for whatever reason.
Absolutely.
I would say one thing too, if we're talking about a weight loss journey here, and we only got a little bit of time left, but I will say this really quick. I would say resist the urge to make it about the accolades you can get from others. We live in a society where pictures, man, my gosh, you throw up a picture of you losing 20 pounds, hundreds of likes. And then if you gain that weight, then where are you? So make sure you're doing it for yourself and celebrate with the people who care. Don't make it about what other people are going to think about you, because then at that point, it's what are you doing it for?
Dr. Michael, we wish you and yours a very, very happy and wonderful and safe 2024. Thank you so very much, my friend. We will talk to you in the new year. Don't go away.
Thank you.
When we come back, you will be listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Calvin is on the board. Shout out to everybody in Hayward listening on the Buzz of the North, WBZH.
Ooh.
And on Lake Air, WLAK in Amory.
Amory.
Thank you for joining us. You can always call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY.
Party.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
We just had Dr. Michael McCutcheon on the air. If you ever want to find him and you want to talk to him, you can find him at thedrmichael.com.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a very, very knowledgeable, wonderful, compassionate human being.
He's a sweet person.
He's a sweet pea.
I want to be able to like have him in my pocket and be like, Dr. Mike, what do you think? All right, I'll put the cheesecake back.
Coming up at 11:33, Rich Smith and Ron Schultz from Over Our Head Players, the 6th Street Theater, going to be joining us live in studio to talk about Snowdance, which is coming up in February. It's a 10-minute comedy festival.
It's a comedy festival comprised of 10-minute
comedies. Yes.
From
all over the world. So yes. I'm very excited to have them in. I've known those guys a long, long time.
Yeah.
And was in on some of the earlier days of
I want to see pictures.
Over Our Head Players. Great article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, switching gears just a little bit. About the shows, 15 TV shows that have Wisconsin connections from the past year. And there were a lot more than I had any idea. Now, I know about Mark Ruffalo.
Because my gosh.
Yeah, he's from Kenosha.
He's part of, the Ruffalos, if you drive through Kenosha, Ruffalo Automotive, Ruffalo Hairstyle, Ruffalo Grocery Store, right? That is the family of Kenosha. And that has I'm sure Mark helps, but like, they have been a big part of that community for a long time.
That's really cool.
And there's two Ruffalos, too, and there's a little bit
back and forth. Oh, is there a little rivalry?
Ooh.
Adam Suralski, University School of Milwaukee alum, who provided fodder for the 2022 Netflix series The Recruit, one of the producers of season 2 of Dr. Death.
Oh, all right. I just saw.
You're familiar with Dr. Death?
Yes, it's an anthology show. The first season was about one doctor. This next one's about another doctor. Basically about doctors who kill people.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
That's nice and uplifting. Waukesha native Wade Wazinski is producing. He's an animator, and he's producing Haley's On It. It's about a girl whose to-do list includes saving the world and getting her first kiss.
We should try to get him on the show.
That would be great.
Because I love hearing about, I'm also Waukesha's own, but just.
I think it would be fascinating just to talk to an animator.
Yeah.
An animator and what that process is like.
In today's day and age of animation? Yeah, absolutely.
Milwaukee native Dan Harmon debuted his new animated series, Crepopolis. Set in a vaguely ancient time, the show follows a flawed family of humans, gods, and monsters as they try to invent something called civilization.
Do you know who's on that show?
I do not.
Hannah Waddingham.
She is.
She's one of the voices. Dan Harmon's also the creator of Community, the TV show, as well.
Right.
I mean, he is one of the pillars of TV comedy. And yeah, started out here in Milwaukee, comedy sports. Mm-hmm.
I forgot that.
And his buddy Rob Schraub, who is a producer and writer, and he's also, that guy is just going to eventually blow up and run everything. He's so creative and so funny. Those two together, they won an Emmy for writing on the Oscars.
That's nice.
Very proud of those two boys.
You should be. Rachel Brosnahan and Tony Shalhoub getting a shout out for their appearance in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which... it really was a terrific series.
It's a great show. I really like the show. It's, as a comedian, there's parts where I'm like, it's not that easy.
It's cringy.
No, not cringy, but they're like, she she gets success fast because the show moves fast. And so at a certain point, people will be like, oh, have you, do you watch the Marvelous Miss Maisel? I'm like, I've never heard of it. What is that show? But all great success of those two, especially Tony Shalhoub, who I adore.
I adore him too. And he, Rachel Brosnahan was born in Milwaukee, but then they moved to Illinois. So she grew up outside of Chicago. And Tony Shalhoub is a native of Green Bay.
Yeah. Yep.
Very, very talented guy. He's appeared in so many of my favorite things, including Galaxy Quest, which if you've never seen it, you must see it.
Did I tell you that he has a Monk? They made a movie on Peacock. It's called Mr. Monk's Final Case. And I was sobbing at the end.
Really?
It is so beautiful. It is such a beautiful story. And they get pretty much everyone back and they're solving one last case. And it is a beautiful piece of closure for the character. And yes, you will so cry.
Oh, God, that's great. Kristen Johnston, who is from Whitefish Bay.
Yep.
And was critical on Third Rock from the Sun.
Heck yeah.
And then what was the one, Living with My Mother?
Yes, and she was just on the last season of The Righteous Gemstones.
Yes, that's where she's getting this shout out for appearance on The Righteous Gemstones. So,
that show's great, too.
And I had no idea that this woman was from Wisconsin. The woman who played Michelle, Ted Lasso's wife, and then later ex-wife on Ted Lasso, Andrea Anders, is from Wisconsin.
I didn't know that either.
She grew up in DeForest, and she graduated from UW-Stevens Point.
What's up?
Is that not... That's crazy.
That's great. I love it. I love it. And watch Ted Lasso. It'll make you feel good.
You will laugh. You will cry.
Oh, God, you'll cry.
And a good friend of mine, for our little Christmas exchange this year, she and her husband actually found the recipe for the little
biscuits
that Ted Lasso gives his boss, Hannah Waddington, played by Hannah Waddington.
How can you find the recipe?
She said there's recipes online, and they tried five different iterations of this to get the right, what they assume was the right consistency, crumbliness. She said, yeah, they tried five different recipes. One was too dry. One was too squishy. It had to look, you know, you had to have the same kind of bite experience as Hannah did on Ted Lasso.
What's your mouth feel on that?
What's the mouth?
I told you my Ted Lasso Christmas. I showed you when I walked in the studio on Wednesday. I had my AFC Richmond jacket that my family got, that my wife got for me. And she got me tickets to see Brett Goldstein at the Riverside in March.
I am so jealous.
Brett plays Roy Kent. He's a stand-up comic. He has been for a long time, and he's doing a U.S. tour, and he's coming to Milwaukee. I'm sure he saw my tweets. And I am so very excited to see him. I am over the moon. I cannot wait.
I'm very, very jealous.
I'm jealous of me right now.
It's an incredible program. And if you think it's all about soccer, trust me, soccer is certainly peripherally involved, yeah, but it's more about relationships and humanity and friendships and forgiveness and
positivity.
You will feel so good.
Yes.
And that's on Apple Plus.
Correct. Which is only charging me one price right now. See how they do that, Amazon? See how they do that?
Take that, Amazon.
Take that. We got you.
When we return, we will be talking to Rich Smith and Ron Schultz from Over Our Head Players in Racine. Stay close. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We see the truth so simple but so clear. Accepting the notion's depths were out of reach for me and you. If you're coming up for air, breathing in, you know I'll be there when you first begin. And when everybody's telling us we have no time, we'll prove them wrong again. Cause yeah, I might be yours again. Yeah, yes, this might well be it. But heaven knows I've tried.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's economy ended the year in good shape. The state's unemployment rate is 3.3%. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development says a record 3 million people plus were working in Wisconsin at the end of November. The Journal Sentinel reports the biggest problem with Wisconsin's economy is not enough workers to fill job openings. Toys should be safer than ever. Congress passed tougher regulations in 2008, but experts are still urging parents to inspect their kids' holiday gifts.
Especially if you're talking about a younger child, but inspect that toy, make sure that none of the parts have come loose. Nothing could come off that could endanger them or be a choking hazard.
Teresa Murray is with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The minimum wage in Minnesota is set to increase at the start of the new year. As of January 1st, employers with annual gross revenue of at least $500,000 will need to pay a minimum wage of at least $10.85 per hour. Smaller employers making less than $500,000 will need to pay at least $8.85 per hour. Additionally, the training wage rate for employees younger than 20 years old and the youth wage rate for employees under 18 years old will be $8.85. The United Way of Wisconsin has announced a new confidential phone service to connect residents with critical resources. 211 Wisconsin will help residents find food, housing, transportation, utility assistance, and interpersonal violence community-based service providers. The search tool has been designed to make it as simple as possible to connect Wisconsinites with the services that they need in each county. The navigation tool will be free for anybody to use as an enhancement of a local service. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Packers head to Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the border battle. The Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football, New Year's Eve, inside the big glass box with huge speakers. In downtown Minneapolis, known as U.S. Bank Stadium, both teams at 7-8, still alive for a playoff spot. Matt LaFleur.
I think this is one of the best venues to go play a football game in. Their fans are very supportive of the home team, and they do a great job of making it chaotic for the opposing team, especially for opposing offenses.
College football, the Badgers are in Tampa getting ready for Monday's ReliaQuest Bowl. Kickoff 11 a.m. on New Year's Day. Luke Fickell says to beat number 13th ranked LSU, he's counting on Wisconsin's offensive line.
You know, I really like where we are with those five guys, the Jack Nelsons and you know, Riley Malmans and Joe Hubers. It's played a lot of football. In particular, those guys have got to be tough, nasty dudes.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A bright and beautiful day today with partly sunny skies and mild temperatures as highs climb to flirting with the 40s. Tomorrow we'll see some sun to start, but clouds quickly rolling in as chances of snow start to move in after noon. Right now, it's 30.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is here. Calvin is on the board. You can always call or text at 844-967-2789 if you want to chime in. I'm overjoyed and delighted to have these two gentlemen in studio with me right now. Rich Smith and Ron Schultz are among the founders of Over Our Head Players and the 6th Street Theater, and we've known each other so long.
Easy. Easy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's been over 30 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You and I and Rich did, it would have been in mid-92, we did Murder at the Howard Johnson's.
Right, Murder at right. the Howard Johnson's. Yeah. When we were doing Theater ones. In the
yeah.
Bar.
Yeah.
Theater in the Bar.
Theater in the Bar.
Very highbrow humor.
Oh, it was. Yeah. And then Cheese Louise, of course.
Cheese Louise, yeah. Yeah.
It was so long ago, I still had a mullet.
Ron did. He rocked the mullet for that
you
one.
Have a mullet? Yeah. Yeah. I still have the t-shirts that we made.
Oh, cool.
My Bump and Pump.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I still have that, yeah. And I still wear it, actually.
Yeah, great. Nobody knows what we're talking about.
I know. Look up Cheese Louise. It still needs to come back. I think yes. it needs
we
to
want
have,
to bring that one back.
I think yeah. it needs to yeah. have one more life.
Yeah. Yes.
I really do. So how did this all get going? Over Our Head Players. You had both done stuff at the Racine Theater Guild.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of branched off on your own and started this little theater company. What was the whole genesis of that?
So another good friend of ours, you know, Kevin Holofka.
Of course.
You know, we visited storefront theaters in Chicago, and Kevin had visited some in New York, and then I got to later. And we just love that vibe, you know, that ability to take chances, do what you want. And it brought this art vibrance urban thing to the neighborhoods that it was in. And we said, we should do this in Racine. And when we started at George's, we didn't think it would go as well as it went.
Right.
But we knew if we had a couple seasons there, save some money, maybe that could happen. And everything just worked out well for us. So we had Theater in the Bar for the first 7 years, saved some money.
Yeah.
And now we've got our own theater in beautiful downtown Racine, 318 6th Street. And we're in our 26th, going into our 27th season in that building.
Now. I can't. So, yeah. Even wrap my head around that.
I know, it goes so fast.
Yeah.
Well, and again, it was such an ambitious thing to do, seriously, because the Racine community has always been a big supporter of the Theater Guild.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that there are enough people there to support both,
yeah.
I think is really remarkable.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and we always said, you know, Racine has such a great theater audience. They're mature enough to digest other material,
yeah.
you know, that they may not be able to see unless they go to Chicago
yeah.
or somewhere else. And that's kind of what we try to do. We don't stay away from subject matter or language. And we like to bring new things that are out there. It's yeah. working.
It is a good theater community. I've had friends who have seen shows at 6th Street who had never seen theater. And then they said, oh, well, let's go check out Theater Guild. This was fun. And vice versa. So
growing audience, sharing absolutely. Audience, and all back yep. and forth. And again, big shout out to the theater community and all the folks who support theater yeah. and Racine in the surrounding areas, because yep. I just think that is so fantastic. So I know your big snow dance is coming up. Snow
oh,
dance
yeah.
is in February.
Yes.
And Greg is very familiar with snow dance and mentioned earlier this morning that the tickets fly off yeah. the shelves. So explain what snow dance is.
I'll start. Ron can chime in because he's been in almost all of them now. But so this is our 20th snow dance. When we started it, we wanted to do this thing where it was like, well, let's do a comedy competition and let's have playwrights, people, you know, write 10-minute plays. And then we can pick a few of them that are funny and put them together back to back and then let the audience vote on the one they thought was funniest. In the first year, we were blown away. We got over 100 submissions, and we thought, wow, this could be pretty cool.
How did you even spread the word on that, Rich?
Well, that was back in 05, you know, 04, 05.
Internet didn't exist at that point, so yeah.
It did, but it was only for the military.
Yeah.
No, it was around, but it was all, you know, posters, use of radio, and use of paper newspapers and things like that, and got out there. And, you know, finding playwrights through letters to, you know, publications, you know, the Dramatist Guild, things like that.
Okay.
It got out there, but then it grew from there on. In the first year, we sold the whole thing out, and people were like, do it again. And then the next year, we added shows, and we got a couple hundred and a few hundred more. And now we average anywhere from, you know, 600 to 800 submissions a year. We've gotten submissions from China, Czechoslovakia, Australia, Iraq,
Union Grove, Kansasville.
We like to say we've gotten submissions in the United States from 48 of our finest states and Illinois.
And Illinois.
Yeah, we like to say that.
I got to take a little shot at that.
Yeah, we got to take a shot. Yeah.
So the whittling process must be arduous when you get 700 submissions. How many of you are reading through all these submissions?
Yeah, well, I try to read all of them. The last couple of years, it's been hard for me because we've got so many other projects going on. But this year, we had 9 readers, and everything gets read at least once or twice. And then there's this sort of filter process where, you know, we vote on them together and then talk about what'll make a good show and what are the funniest. You know, you don't want 10 plays in the finals that all take place in a restaurant with a couple arguing. And you don't want, you know, 10
plays.
Yeah,
you got to switch it up a little
bit.
And actually, it's cyclical at times. 1 year, well, we got like 6 or 7 plays about zombies.
Yeah, the zombie year. Right.
You know, yeah, 1 year it might be restaurants. 1 year it might be zombies. You know, COVID was a big one. Everything was
I bet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A zombie cavalcade that will be coming next year to Snowdance.
Yeah. This year was the devil. Lots of devil plays this year. I don't know what that says about the times. But
So how long does the show run? Because it's got to be exhaustive to be appearing in all of these plays.
It's a workout.
How big is your cast?
The cast this year, there's 11 of us in the ensemble. And we're going to have probably 26, 27 performances overall between February 9th and March 10th. And our theater only seats about 90 for this show.
It's a real intimate theater, the 6th Street Theater.
Yep. So when you're there, you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all right in front of you. And people love that.
I bet. Just the closeness, the proximity. Yeah. Because if you're sitting in the front row, you can literally touch the actors
on
the stage.
Yes. And sometimes they do.
Not always welcome. Yeah. Well,
sometimes I touch them. As well.
Ron's had restraining orders.
He's one of the founders. Yeah. It's okay. You got to let that stuff slide. So you have 11 people who are doing every role in all of the plays that you pick.
Yeah, so it's all split up. So someone might be in 4 of them, someone might be in 2 of them, someone might be in 3 of them. You know, it just depends on how we split it all up. But then we tie each submission together with a little bit of sketch humor in between, like a minute or two. Because when you come to see a snow dance, like the action, it never stops. There's never like a scene change or a blackout that takes more than 10 seconds. We're always on stage doing something. So one play might end and then there might be some, you know, sketch commercial for some bogus product.
Oh, that
and then,
sounds hilarious.
And then the commercial ends with, you know, now here's finalist number 3 from Arkansas, whatever, whatever. And then you watch the next finalist. So it just, it's continuous. So everybody's busy the whole time.
I can imagine. It must be exhausting.
Yeah.
And then on a side note, when we have auditions for the actors and actresses that are coming in, they're not auditioning for a part. They don't know what they're going to be.
It's to be part of this ensemble.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Which makes auditions interesting because we don't always have material for them to audition with. So they might be reading something that's not even going to end up in Snowdance.
Right. It takes a lot of trust for an actor to come to something and say, all right, here I am. I don't know what I'm doing, but you know, if you cast me, let me know. But we get that because people know with Snowdance, it's a great challenge as an actor too, because you'll be out, you know, in one play as like Ron, he's going to be the devil. And then he comes back later and he's a gay dolphin.
Right.
So
as one does.
Yeah. So as an actor, you get a chance to do all these different things and they know that. And so I'm really proud of the fact that Snowdance is out there to the point where people come and want to audition for it for that reason. So.
Well, and too, I think sometimes that can be a stumbling block for smaller theater companies. Of course, you have your favorites and people that you want to cast, but you also want to get new blood in there.
Every year, you have to have new blood coming in.
Yeah, we need that. Every theater needs that, but we always welcome it. Yeah.
Rich Smith and Ron Schultz are with me in our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. They are the co-founders of Over Our Head Players and the 6th Street Theater in Racine, and we're talking about their 10-minute comedy festival, Snowdance, which is coming up in February. Don't wait if you want tickets because it has sold out every year.
Yeah, usually by mid-January they're
gone.
They're all gone.
Yeah, before we open, it's sold out.
What kind of extortionate theater prices are we paying at the Sixth Street Theater?
We're in the $20 range now.
Oh, that's such a deal.
So, yeah, I think so. For a good night out, a laugh, 20, you know, with a couple of service fees, might be $22.
But, that's a steal.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. So they're available on the web. What, are they on sale now?
Yep. Visit our website at overourheadplayers.org.
Overourheadplayers.org. We will make sure that we get that in the show notes in case you forget and you didn't write it down. So it'll be there after the show. Is over. I want to talk a little bit because, again, I was with you guys in the earlier days of the Sixth Street Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not in a necessarily great neighborhood.
Right.
Mm-mm. And there was essentially nothing on this whole business strip. There might have been something that was across the street for a while.
Yeah, there was a furniture store famous in Racine called Porter's Furniture.
Of course.
And a lot of people came to Porter's Furniture, and then that would be about it.
Right.
Sixth Street was like a tumbleweeds. Yeah,
it was a wasteland.
Mm-hmm.
Even
the building that we are in now sat empty for 10, 12 years.
Oh, before we got in it, it was empty for quite a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they look at you like you were crazy?
Yeah, actually.
They still do.
I'm pretty sure our first landlord thought, yeah, okay, go ahead. Yeah, next year we'll just rent it to someone else. You know, they didn't think we were going to make it. And then when they saw it take off a little bit, they were pretty supportive of us. So it's worked well.
Well, and I want to say as well, I was visiting a good friend in Mount Pleasant a couple weekends ago who is a big supporter of both the Theater Guild and Over Our Head Players. And he mentioned what a difference your presence on Sixth Street has made for that whole business strip.
We are so proud of that.
You should be.
You know, I'm born and raised Racine, and of course it's your hometown, so you love it. But seeing that neighborhood kind of come up around us with us with that goal and vision that we had 30 years ago about that urban theater vibe, and now we're surrounded some of the coolest restaurants. You can walk out. It's like dinner theater if you come to the Sixth Street Theater. It is. You can park in one spot. You can walk across the street. There's wonderful like Asian, Thai steakhouses. There's Old Madrid Spanish tapas. You know, well within a couple blocks of us.
And really on show nights, they're all busy.
They must be so thrilled.
Yeah. We've got a good relationship with all the business owners up and down that street.
Yeah.
Well, again, for people who don't know what it was like, there was literally nothing there. There really wasn't. And so this is just another indication, right, of what small businesses can do and what a successful small business can do to an entire neighborhood and help revitalize a part of Racine that really nothing had been going on there for a while.
No, it's had a nice resurgence. Downtown Racine is actually pretty wonderful right
That's
now.
That's great. I think you need like a prize from the city.
I want a key, Jane. I want a big key.
What do you want,
Ron?
They gave me a padlock, but no code.
It's a different
thing. No code. Yeah.
No code.
There needs to be something. You need a certificate from the mayor or something.
That's nice. Thank you.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
In order to recognize all of your contributions.
Well, one thing grows another thing, you know, and and you know, this restaurant supports the bar that is across the street, and all of a sudden that's the way a community grows, and it has been fun over the last 20 some years watching all that happen in our neighborhood.
There's a line from Hello Dolly about you have to spread manure around to encourage young things to grow. So, Over Our Head Players, you're kind of like the embodiment.
We are the manure of downtown Racine.
Helping Racine grow.
We're the destination fertilizer.
Yep, I've spread much manure
over the decades.
Yes.
Stay with us. Ron and Rich will be here when we get back. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is here. Calvin is on the board. I am joined in studio by two old friends of mine, Rich Smith and Ron Schultz from Over Our Head Players and the 6th Street Theater in Racine. And when we started out, I had mentioned that we've known each other for 30 years. And a texter says, Jane, how can it be 30 years if you are only 25?
Yeah, right.
So yeah. Good. The Vaseline on the camera lens is working in the way that I hoped that it would. Talking about Snowdance, which is a big 10-minute comedy festival that happens in Racine, kicks off in February. You get applications and submissions from all over the world now. And do the winning playwrights come a lot if they're from overseas?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they do?
Well, not from overseas. I take that back.
Within the country, yeah. We've had quite a few.
I can't remember one coming from overseas. Even the Canada guy 1 year wanted to come, but around the country, yeah, absolutely. We get people flying in and want to see their play. Playwrights love that.
I'm sure they do. Yeah. And what a wonderful little boost for Racine and the tourism industry and the hotel industry.
Yep.
I'm also curious, and I, sorry to put you on the spot, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Which country is the least funny?
It's hard to say. You know, we've had good ones from just about everywhere. We had the guy from Italy last year. You get different types of humor for sure.
Oh yeah,
for sure. The stuff from the UK is always a little bit quirky.
Yeah,
a little dry.
I will say this about Canadians are funny.
Mm-hmm.
Don't doubt your Canadians when it comes to humor. They all have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and a punchline. They're good.
Well, and look at some of the comics that have come out of Canada.
Yeah.
You know?
Is Montana a country?
Montana's not a country, Ron.
That does not qualify as a country.
Union Grove Bronco next to me, Ron Schultz.
Not a lot of funny submissions from Montana.
No, I don't think we've ever got any submissions from Montana. No, I was just curious.
We had the little map up before. We've had, in the 20-year history, we've had, I think, 7 or 8 from Montana. It's funny. New York is the number one by far.
That's all you have, right? Are unemployed actors and writers and directors and producers
And then it's like California, Florida, Pennsylvania. For some reason, Ohio is up there. And Wisconsin is down towards the middle of the pack or down lower.
Interesting.
Which is okay. You know, we don't want to be hometown biased. Once in a while, we'll get one from Wisconsin or Racine, but it always gets in there because of
its own merits.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and here's why. Is because when we do the readings, the script readings, for the most part, we cover up where it's from.
Oh, that's great.
When we're reading them,
sure.
When we distribute to the reading committee, so that there's no home
nobody
bias.
Knows.
And we've had winners from Racine that have won strictly on the merit of the play, not because they're from Racine. Yeah,
really smart.
Yeah,
that's really smart. And then the audience gets to vote on it.
Yeah. So that's what makes Snowdance pretty unique, and we're pretty sure it's the longest running 10-minute comedy competition in the world right now. I don't know that anybody else does it exactly how we do. So the audience is the judge. So when you come in, you get your program, you get a ballot, you watch all these plays, and then you vote for your top three. all the plays get all. We send all the playwrights like a stipend royalty.
Oh, you do? I was wondering about that.
Yeah, we worked with the Dramatists Guild on that. We want to follow best practices and respect these people as best we can. You know, because we're doing their work and we're making a little money off of it. So it is not much, but we want to recognize them. And then if they win, if they're in the top three, they get a larger cash reward and their name on a plaque in the lobby, which is priceless.
Yeah. Well, of course it is.
And every single submission gets a response. Thank you for your submission.
All 700.
Yeah, we follow through. And a lot of festivals don't do that. We try to do that. And I think playwrights appreciate that as well.
Well, and I would think as well, with the success of this and just the success of your company, do you hear from a lot of smaller theater companies or other groups that are like, we would really like to do this in our community? How on earth did you pull this off?
Yeah, on occasion, I'll get another managing director or something somewhere saying, people are always, not always, but I get questions out there. You really trust your audience to vote on the winner of your festival? Yeah.
Well,
I mean, yeah, that's who it's for. It's for the audience. It's for.
They know what's funny. Yeah. They're smart. A lot of competitions or playwright festivals are handled in different ways, you know. But that's what makes Snowdance unique. When you come in, you're a judge. Everybody gets a little I voted sticker on their way out. It's kind of fun.
Well, and I got to share a quick memory. It was our very first Snowdance. You know, we had laughter during the production and all that. And then curtain call and, you know, we go backstage and we heard nothing but silence. And we're like, oh God,
this must suck.
Yeah, this is awful. We peek through the curtains. We look out. Every single person has got their notepad and their ballot. Yeah. And they're all
super engaged.
Yeah. Yes.
And it still kind of works that way. There's that moment after curtain call where everybody just sort of rustles and looks at their talks to each other and whatever. It's fun.
I think that's obviously one of the very unique things about it. And they're obviously very invested in
this. Oh, yeah. They take it serious.
And take it seriously.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And humor is such a subjective thing.
Yes. Mm.
So it's got to be. Have you ever been disappointed? I'm not going to ask you to name it if there was one that was like you guys didn't think was the best. Or you might have disagreed with, because again, it's such a subjective thing.
Yeah, well, sometimes when we read the scripts, there's been a few years here and there where it's funny on paper. When we get it up on stage,
it doesn't fly.
They're all funny.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, but there's ones like, well, we thought that one was going to hit a little more than it did.
Right.
Or out of the blue, we have something that, well, where did that come from?
Yeah.
You know.
And that's part of the magic of live theater.
Yeah.
The
magic of live theater. And you read these once in a while you read some, it's like, yeah, that's pretty funny. But then when you put the right actor in it, and a good comedian, and then you see it live and go, oh, I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
Right? And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you'll see the shows grow from week one to week five. In the fact that we're basing it off of audience reaction.
You tweak it a little bit, right?
Yeah. Some shows grow, some don't.
You get comfortable in a role. You're an actor, so you know how that goes.
Over our head players, we never overacted.
We would never. No.
That's funny. I never acted.
Thank you both so very much for coming in. I am so delighted for you and so proud of the success of Over Our Head Players in the Sixth Street Theater. And I'm so happy I was a part of it in any tiny, tiny way.
Oh, you were, Janie. You were a big part of it when we started. And
we'd love to have you back.
Love to have you back.
I would love to come back. Yeah. We will get everything in the show notes. It's overourheadplayers.org. Don't wait on tickets if you want to go to Snowdance. They are on sale at this very moment. Thank you so much, everyone, for calling and for texting and for listening today. Have a very safe and happy, happy new year. And I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. News is coming up next. Don't go away. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. California, where the girls are warm, so I could hear my sweet baby say, keep on a rocking me, baby. Keep on a rocking me, baby. Keep on a rocking me, baby. Keep on a rocking me, rocking me, rocking, baby.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC